Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week I have Lynn Potter. She is a licensed acupuncturist in Seaside. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. It's so fun to have you back again. It's been several years.
Yes, it has.
And I thought that we should talk about Qigong again. Well, I think I got first exposed to it in Oakland, California in 1971.
Okay.
There were PE classes of Tai Chi at the community college in Oakland, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
And so that was my first exposure, and I suppose that's when it was first coming to the United States.
Right. That was about the time, you know, when Nixon went over, although that might have been in 1972. And that's, you know, when they had, he went over to China to develop relationships there. And that's when we really, you know, we opened up information about Chinese medicine, Qigong, Tai Chi, Eastern philosophy into the West.
Yeah. And then, right. And then doctors started going and a lot of information back and forth. And like, oh, what do they have to teach us?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's been awesome. Okay, so one of the things that we learned about was Qigong. So what is it?
So Qigong, the definition, you know, I've heard many different definitions. The definition of Qi basically is life force, that which animates all things. It's infused in everything. It's what makes everything function. Gong could also be interpreted many ways, but the primary way that I like is the discipline of working with that qi. So usually you develop a methodology or a system of exercises to work with your own internal qi system. So it's working with your own qi, basically.
Okay, that's a little nebulous to me. So let's make it practical. Okay, so we're talking about exercises that work with your qi.
Right.
What does that mean?
So another way of looking at it is a way of aligning the body, the mind, and the breath through movement, posture, breathing, mental focus.
Okay, so how's that different from yoga?
It's really not. I mean, you know, yoga was a strong influence for Qigong. So there was a teacher named Bodhidharma that came to China and maybe, I don't know if it was 500 or 700 AD, but he brought yoga to China, and they started the Shaolin Temple there. So there's a strong influence of yoga on Qigong. So Qigong has its history way back. You know, they don't even know how old it is, in shamanic maybe practices thousands of years ago. But it was first documented 2,500 years ago in a classic called The Yellow Emperor's Classic of Medicine. So in that, they developed or they defined what it actually does for the body. I kind of lost my train of thought there, but so we were talking about how yoga influenced, or how is it different from yoga. They're basically the same, a way of learning how to balance the three aspects of the body, which is the body, the mind, and the breath.
Okay.
Can you help me redirect back to, because my thinking got distracted
there. I think that makes sense. Okay, so we're thinking about that. Integrating, you know, like basically mind, spirit, body. I mean, which is a lot of people are trying to figure out how to pull the parts of us together instead of calling them parts, just saying how to put myself in balance and make sure that all the components of who I am are working together instead of fighting each other.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so then who would want to do, I mean, like everyone's out of balance, right?
Yes. It's rare to find a human being that's perfectly in balance.
Okay. I think you're pretty much in balance, but the rest of us, I don't know.
I don't know about that. I try. I mean, I've been doing Qigong for 20 years, and I have seen many benefits of doing that. But let me just say, I still consider myself a student of Qigong, and feel like I have so much more to learn. And there's a vast, you know, vast knowledge of Qigong that I'm just tipping, you know, the surface of getting into.
That makes me wonder then, how do people know that they might benefit from it?
Well, what usually brings someone to Qigong is a health crisis of some sort,
okay.
or they feel out of balance, mm-hmm. or they have an illness of some sort. And so there are many forms of Qigong, and one of the main focuses of doing Qigong is medical. You know, you receive medical benefits from doing Qigong. So someone would come because they have an imbalance in their system, say they have pain, or they have cancer, or they have an internal organic system, allergies, or something like that. So they want to try to bring their system to balance. So that's why they would come to Qigong.
Heart problems,
okay. stress. I mean, really, you know, when I was talking about bringing those things into balance, what it does, first of all, is teaches you how to relax into the body. You know, if you bring your attention into the body, like I need to do right now to relax, because I get a little nervous when I speak on the radio. When you bring your mind into the body and breathe, it just slows everything down. And you start to be aware of where maybe you are holding tension, where you are holding stress, where the system feels blocked. So for someone to, you know, be experiencing stress in their body, this is a major benefit. And so, you know, something like blood pressure issues is mainly caused by stress oftentimes. So to have a system where all you need is your body and 4 feet of space to be able to de-stress the body is critical, you know, in our day and in our time, everybody feels stress. That's just kind of a buzzword. To first of all have a way of calming down that stress in the system is critical.
So this sounds like it might be helpful for someone who has like adrenal fatigue with cortisol levels that are either elevated or depressed, yeah. right? That they just mm-hmm. feel lousy, tired.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you know, now, you know, Qigong is something that's really hard to test from scientific means, especially in our modern Western world. But they are doing testing now where they're finding, they test people's brain waves. And while they're doing Qigong, and you were speaking of hormone levels, they found that when people initially start going into the Qigong state, which is aligning the posture, straightening the spine, bringing the breath in, and focusing the mind internally, that they notice that the brain waves go from beta state, which is when the adrenal system is, you know, pumping out adrenaline. When you're outwardly focused, you're problem solving. In the worst case, you're fight or flight and very stressed, running or, you know, from something.
Right.
The bridge happens where you go into the alpha state, and they notice the brain waves change and the body starts producing endorphins. So that's the first stage of entering the qi state by doing this mental focus, aligning the body and breathing, that the body enters alpha state, which is the bridge then into the theta state, which is, you know, a deeper, relaxed, almost trance-like state. It's the subconscious realm, maybe almost like a dream state. And that's where the body really starts pumping out positive chemicals like dopamine and serotonin and whatnot. So it's been scientifically proven in those realms to actually affect the chemistry of the body.
So then it sounds like a bunch of things happen. Your brain calms down. Your body calms down. What could be bad?
The muscles relax. The blood flows. The circulation is increased. The nervous system is calmed down.
But probably the blood pressure drops.
Yes.
If it needs to drop. Well, even if you have a normal blood pressure, it will probably drop under those conditions.
Right.
Not to an unsafe level, but to a lower level.
Yeah, that's the thing about Qigong. It's very safe. You know, it's rare that, you know, basically, if you saw someone doing Qigong, there are many ways to do Qigong. There's meditative Qigong where you're just sitting still. There's standing Qigong where maybe you see someone doing what we call the horse dance, where there's just standing in a posture of alignment and breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's moving Qigong, which if you saw someone doing it, you might think they were doing Tai Chi. It's just very slow, graceful movement. Mm-hmm. So the risk of hurting yourself is very minimal, you know. And the idea is because your mind is focused internally, you're very aware of your own internal environment, and it's highly unlikely you're going to hurt yourself. I mean, that's the point of it. Our world has, you know, is changing rapidly. There's lots of things we need to adapt to, which is one of the benefits of Qigong, that if you are aware of your own internal environment, you're going to be aware if something outside of your body is going to be foreign to you or harmful to you, and you will be, remove yourself from that situation or be able to adapt to it or, you know,
somehow
deflect.
Work with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's rare that I've seen someone hurt themselves with Qigong.
Well, you know, one of the differences between those that kind of activity, that kind of exercise, and name your Western activity is the speed of it.
Right.
There isn't any speed. So you're much more aware. Mm-hmm. Most everything we do is fast.
Yes.
And faster is better.
Right.
And more is better. And if less is better and slow is better, then you have an opportunity to really pay attention.
Right. And hopefully they've seen, right, by developing this ability to focus the mind, you are going to accomplish more efficiently mm-hmm. and effectively and with less stress on the system.
Okay. Yeah.
So, So it is a nice balance to our mm-hmm. fast-paced world. It is connected to, you know, electronics and technology. To have a system in which you can unplug from that and reestablish connection with your own, you know, body, mind, and breath.
Okay. So I'll bet that there are some people listening to this who think, well, this is cool. Sign me up. Mm-hmm. How do I sign up?
Right.
I want to do it. I want to do it safely, and I want to do it with someone who knows what they're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
What do I do? How do I start?
Okay. Well, here, first of all, just practically speaking, here in Clatsop County, I'm currently not teaching. I haven't taught for about a year and a half, and probably won't for another year. But there are some teachers in Clatsop County. Janet Maher is down in Nehalem, possibly even Cannon Beach. There's a woman that's, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know her name. She's a new acupuncturist in Cannon Beach, and she's teaching Qigong classes. And I believe up here...
You're not talking about Margaret.
She's a new acupuncturist.
New, okay, not Margaret and Seth, Margaret.
In Cannon Beach that took over Genevieve's practice. Mm-hmm. So So there are some options for teachers. And, you know... Qigong is one of my passions. It's one of my, you know, and my hobby is to listen. You know, these days on the internet, you can access so many different teachers and masters in Qigong. So I listen to interviews all the time with Qigong masters. And when they talk about how they first started Qigong, mm-hmm. you know, oftentimes for most of them, it was a young man who was struggling as a teenager and entered into the martial arts. As martial arts is a form of Qigong. Tai Chi is a form of martial Qigong, just slowed way down. So most of them started that way, and they just went to the closest person that was there. So and that was the teacher that they had access to, and that's where they started. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it is when I've talked to my teacher. You know, whatever you have available to you is where you start, and you are your own master, ultimately. You know, so to think, you know, to find a master is a little confusing, but it's good to have guidance. So if there's someone here in the community, great, start there. Mm-hmm. And even if it's very limited in its scope, it's worthy, because anything that initially brings you into this idea of getting in touch with your own system of healing, which is what it is. You know, we have a gold mine within us of healing that we have access to. The body has everything it needs to heal. And we don't realize that until we really get in touch with it and realize the life force that is there. And it's really quite exciting. So anyway, so as far as how to start, you start with where you're at and what you've got available to you here in the community.
That sounds
which is
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. You are listening to Your Health. And I'm talking with acupuncturist Lynn Potter today. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with acupuncturist Lynn Potter. And we're talking about Qigong. And we had a astute listener who let us know that Aria is the acupuncturist in Cannon Beach, and she does Qigong, or she teaches Qigong on Wednesday. So sorry that I don't even have her last name, but hopefully mm-hmm. you can Google it. All right, so that's an option. I know Columbia Memorial Hospital offers Tai Chi classes. I don't know if there's actually Qigong.
I'm not sure either. I know okay. Angela Sidlow in the area is teaching Tai Chi.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And there may be something at Providence Seaside somewhere. I guess you can look it up. Yes.
And I'm so sorry. My dear friend Ron Graham is also teaching Qigong at the Bob Chisholm Senior Center on Tuesdays. And I know Monday nights at 6:00.
Oh.
So that's for free.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Okay. So in Seaside. And I know in another place where there it's not Qigong. There's Tai Chi at the Lanzhou Chinese Garden in downtown Portland every Tuesday at around 10 or 11. I've been there when they're having it. It's out next to the pond on that big deck.
I've always wanted to do that to go.
It's
yeah,
gorgeous.
That would be wonderful.
We got there and we were right under the persimmon tree, which was loaded with orange globes.
Nice.
And they were all, there were a lot of people doing Tai Chi. And then there were some people inside that, you know, that building that, I don't know what you call
one
it.
One of the pavilions.
Of the pavilions, right. Adjacent to that, who was actually showing one of the people some stuff.
Nice.
And the Tai Chi there is the, offered as part of admission. You know, you don't pay extra to go there.
Right.
And that's a lovely other opportunity. Yeah. Okay, so we can start in our own community. But what about, you talked about being able to find information online. A lot of people like to go to YouTube and say,
right,
how do I do Qigong? Could you give a couple of names of people that you might say, oh, that's someone that would be worthy to imitate?
Yeah, you know, I've been actually in the process. It's kind of interesting because my teacher retired, Chen Huixian, she's a wonderful teacher. She retired, and so I've been on a search myself for a teacher in Qigong, and I took a class from Robert Peng, P-E-N-G, and he's out of New York, and he is really wonderful. He's got a website with access to you know, many exercises you can get for free online and information and interviews. So you can start there. I know a lot of people, Lee Holden is very popular. He did a PBS special and he has an online site, Lee Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N. He's quite popular. I mean, there's probably dozens of Qigong teachers. The teacher that I'm currently working with right now, Liu He out of Portland, has a wonderful heart. You know, so when you're looking for a teacher, really it should be someone that, you know, in China, lineage is very important to them, to know that there is history there. And there is, you know, even several generations of teachers that have perfected a form or several forms and are passing it down through a line through what they call direct transmission. So ideally, that's from person to person. Because really, Qigong is something that needs to be experienced directly. So getting it from technology is a little difficult, but it certainly can be done. And today, if that's your only access, I'd say, you know, that's a wonderful way to access it because there's many ways to get to it now. But it's kind of like trying to describe, if you've never tasted honey, to try to tell someone what the taste of honey is like. And until you've actually tasted it, do you really know what it's like? So to have someone that has experienced it directly and then there with you, there is a certain energy that's there to work with a real, you know, human being on it. And then they can also guide you, you know, so if you are...
People are frequently, has to do with movements of their body.
Right.
They think they're doing it the way that the person is showing them. And then if I say, look in the mirror, you go, oh, I'm not doing it at all.
Right.
Like I think I'm doing it.
Right.
And so if there's no one there and you're not doing it in front of a mirror or you're not even familiar with what it looks like, it's easy to do it wrong. I mean, simple motions of the spine.
Right.
People do all kinds of bizarre compensations and weird things every day in my office that that need correcting. And so if no one's there, you may do it wrong. If it doesn't hurt you, it's probably okay. But if you actually want to do it, whatever right is.
Right. I mean, that's an interesting question. What is right and what is wrong?
Right.
And my teacher, current teacher, Liu He, talked about this as everyone has different imbalances. We all have different blockages. We've all had, you know, different life experiences, traumas that, you know, our bodies will move in different ways. So there are different philosophies on this. But her philosophy is that, you know, she teaches a form the way she learned the form. But if you do it a little differently, it's because your body mm-hmm. is different than hers. And as long as you are paying close attention to the body and, you know, not moving into something that's causing you pain or discomfort, like you said, you're not going to do a lot of harm. You may not receive the highest benefit, but as the body moves with the intention of following the form as true to possible, it will eventually get there, and then you will start to, you know, the qi will flow, which is one of the main intentions of doing qigong, is to free up blockages in the body and allow for this free flow of energy through the body that will heal imbalances. Right or wrong, that's a good question, but really there's no wrong way as long as you are paying close attention to the body. And I could be wrong there, but...
Okay, well, that brings up another question to me is, how do you know what you should follow? I mean, let's say that you mm-hmm. live in a remote area, transportation is difficult, but you do have mm-hmm. the internet.
Right.
Do you pull up something, and how would you pick which motions to do? You know, it's like mm-hmm. you're doing a Zumba class. Okay, you've never done Zumba before. How do you decide, you know, like, whoa, that's way mm-hmm. too much for me, or...
Right. Well, resonance is a good thing to think about. So it really, you know, qigong should be something that brings you joy. You know, it should be...
Oh,
we haven't
talked about that.
Yeah, it's like a dance, you know. So you should find something that feels good for you and that resonates with you mm-hmm. and that... you know, you could get excited about and motivated, because the hardest thing for most people is the discipline, which that's the gong of the qigong, is the discipline of doing it ideally every day, ideally, you know, 20 to 30 minutes a day at the very least. But, you know, my teacher now would say it's like taking a shower. You don't, you know, it's like cleaning your external body. You don't go all week or 2 weeks, you know, without showering, then shower for 5 hours in one day, and then you feel like you're clean. You know, even if you did a little bit every day, 5 minutes a day, that's better than nothing. So to find something that you would feel motivated to do, so hopefully mm-hmm. you would enjoy it. So if you're looking through the internet and you try some movements, it's like, oh, that feels really good. And that's like I said about the honey. Until you've tried it, you don't mm-hmm. realize... You know, people that are enthusiasts of qigong are kind of zealots almost, because you start to hunger for that feeling of doing the qi work, of doing this work. And if you don't do it, you feel like you haven't showered in a day or you haven't eaten in a day, and you get hungry for that feeling of qi. So to find that passion, and whether it is yoga or tai chi or qigong or dance or whatever it is that allows you to have that alignment of bringing the mind into the body in a focused way that brings you joy, that aligns the spine, that moves the blood, you know, and moves the body. So it's not that complicated, really, you know, but to keep searching. But there, you can start with the internet. And mm-hmm. I've certainly taken, you know, courses. I'm looking at something right now that's on the internet with a gentleman out of Australia that I'm following some of his movements. So it's doable. But I think if you've never done qigong, ideally you start with a teacher.
Somewhere. In the physical room.
In the physical, realm. But certainly, start looking on the internet and see what excites you. Yeah.
So it sounds like a good guide will be, if you like the person, if they feel somehow you like how they feel, and then what they're offering feels good to you and makes you feel good.
And a teacher should, I mean, there are certain qualities you want in your teacher. Qigong, you know, like yoga and any other practice, is a lifestyle. You want someone that is disciplined. You want someone that is educated in the arts of qigong and philosophy. You want someone that has a true heart, that feels honest and has integrity and practices what they preach. You know, it is about building character as well. So,
A lot of, I mean, I, okay, this is, qigong is a healing art. Mm-hmm. Are there certifications or doctorate programs, or, you know, are there levels of approval, national organizations? Tell me.
Yes. I mean, there's no regulatory body, you know, in the United States that says, you know, you have to have a license to teach qigong. So anybody could go out there and teach it.
Oh,
if
so
they
that means
to.
Anybody is.
Yes. Right. But so that's why it is good to ask those questions of, who, you know, where did you learn? Who are your teachers? Uh-huh. You know, how long have you been practicing?
So how can you know if somebody's any good?
Another interview I was listening to with a gentleman out of California, Jason Ney, was talking about how you just have to go with your internal instincts. Okay. You don't always, anybody can say anything, of course, but...
And they do.
But it still comes back to, if you learn a movement from someone that maybe is not very well trained, but you do this simple movement and it introduces you to the idea of doing a practice, say it's Qigong, and you get excited about that, eventually you'll come to a place where if you're doing the practice seriously and listening to your own body, where at some point you might know, well, I want more than this, or this doesn't feel completely right to me, and you'll move into and start searching. And most people I know find what they're looking for. They seek out a more serious practice. And so it's, I don't get too caught up in, yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to find somebody with a shingle out that says certified Qigong teacher.
It's rare that, because, Qigong is not something you're really going to make a lot of money doing. So I don't think there's too many people that are swindling, Qigong, trying to, I suppose there could be, actually, okay. I take that back. There probably are,
okay,
I don't know.
Okay, so wait, on the other side then, mm-hmm. if you want mm-hmm. to learn how to do it, mm-hmm. and to learn to be a teacher, how do you do it by studying with a teacher.
Right. So
you don't go to a school of Qigong unless maybe you're in China.
There are schools of Qigong. There are schools of Qigong out there, and there are because there are different levels of Qigong. So the first, when I was certified to teach Qigong, Soaring Crane Qigong, from Master Chen, it was a 3-year program, of becoming certified and going through testing, and she would approve whether or not you're ready to go on to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then eventually she certified you to teach. And that's usually the way it is with serious practitioners. The teacher will take you on as a student, and then after maybe a year or two of practice, you will test to see if you're ready to teach maybe one form, and then another year for another form, there are systems in place that are quite mm-hmm. rigorous, for serious practitioners. And then if you want to take it to another level, you can practice medical Qigong, where you are a practitioner of Qigong, where you perform Qigong on a patient, and do energy work on a patient with your own qi. So, yeah, there are different levels of, for very serious practitioners of Qigong.
So if one of mm-hmm. Any of our listeners want to contact you and they say, I want to have a conversation with you, what would be the best way to contact you?
My phone number, can I just give that? 503-717-9811 is my work phone. Also my email, and I'm happy to, I love talking about Qigong, so I'm always happy to talk to anybody about it, is LP3 treasures spelled out. So it's LP3treasures@gmail.com.
Great. So, thank you. This has been really fun. I'm inspired again. I want to do it. That sounds great. Thank you very much for coming, Lynn.
Yeah, thank you, Ann.
I'm Ann Goldine.